Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. I hope that everyone is allowing that to sink in, to understand that we are some part of God. We have to be. And that you are gods in the making. Or you are godlings, if you wish to use it that way. What is that? Why is that so important? Because you have the exact same attributes. You remember as a child, if you went to church or heard anything, it said you were made in the image and likeness of God. And in metaphysics, we say you're made in the image and likeness of God inwardly. It doesn't mean that God looks like human beings, because this thing we call God is anthropomorphic. It's an energy, it's an intelligence, it's a life force. It's all kinds of things, but it is not human. But it is a creator. And if it's the only thing that's creating, and the only thing there is, you must be some part of that. The reason why we want to know that is because all the qualities that you're looking for, all the things that you're looking for in life, are inside of you. And what the world wants to tell you is, look outside for all the things that are going to mean something in your life, that are going to be meaningful to you. What are we looking for? We're looking for a career, we're looking for a mate, we're looking for money, we're looking for all this kind of stuff, always on the outside, never looking inside of us. And what we want to do is take a moment, always look inside, and know that you already have those qualities inside of you. That you have the exact same qualities that you subscribe to God, that you give to God. All those qualities are inside of you, and you must draw them out of you. This is the whole idea, that you must do that for yourself, okay? So with that, would you read this and pass it on, please?
God is all there is, therefore I must be some part of God.
God is all there is, therefore I must be some part of God.
God is all there is, therefore I must be some part of God.
God is all there is, therefore I must be some part of God.
God is all there is, therefore I must be some part of God.
God is all there is, therefore I must be some part of God.
God is all there is, therefore I must be some part of God.
God is all there is, therefore I must be some part of God.
God is all there is, therefore I must be some part of God.
God is all there is, therefore I must be some part of God.
God is all there is, therefore I must be some part of God.
God is all there is, therefore I must be some part of God.
God is all there is, therefore I must be some part of God.
God is all there is, therefore I must be some part of God.
God is all there is, therefore I must be some part of God.
God is all there is, therefore I must be some part of God.
God is all there is, therefore I must be some part of God. Try to remember this. Do it every day. Remind yourself that you are some part of God, that you have God qualities within you. If you want to change and you want the world to change around you, you have to start with yourself, and you have to realize that you can create what you want because you have the ability to do that, because you came from this thing called God, which is a creator. And if God can create, therefore you can create also. God may be able to create universes, and all you then can certainly create a home environment for yourself. You can create something of wonder, something of beauty for yourself. And this is what it's all about. Now, I often tell you about the world is so convincing. The world does not want you to know this. The world wants to keep you separated from this thing called God. It wants to tell you that you are less than all the time, and that you're nothing but a human being. Get that idea out of your head, that you're nothing but a human being. You happen to be in human form at the present moment. But you came from spirit, you will go back to spirit, and you are spirit, encased at the present moment inside of a body. And you learn to use this body on this plane of action. But learning to use this body, the one thing that you have to learn to use is your mind. You must use your mind. It's all going to take place in your mind. The reality that you're living, where you are at the present moment in your life, is because of the thoughts that you have thought. And it has brought you to this point. You don't like your life. Learn to change your thinking. Learn to change your thinking about yourself, and learn to change your thinking about life itself. Realize that this is a wonderful experience you're going through, and not a drudge type thing that most people think. Oh my goodness, I often hear people say, I'm tired of living. You know, I'm tired of living. At the present moment you're living, and you're living this experience. Get with it. Get happy about it. And do something wonderful for yourself and for everybody else. That's what it's all about. Sitting around saying how bad the world is will never get you anywhere. The world is not all that bad. It's only that bad because of the focus that you're putting on it, because the attention that you're giving to it, because you're buying in to this horrible news media that we have out there that's telling you all the bad things that are going on in the world. And the bad things that are going on in the world, if you put them all together, only come to 5%. But you never hear about the 95% of all the good stuff that's going on in the world. So seek that out. Look for those things. Look for the good in yourself. Look for the good in life itself. And you will find it. What you put your focus on, you will bring about. Does everyone have one of these? I found this. I'm not doing it with mine, but I found it. I don't know what, and I don't know if I ever gave it to you or not. But let's go over this quickly because it has a lot to do always with what we're doing. So it says here, I magnify God's good in my life. Whatever I focus my thoughts on increases. We know that. That is one of the tenets of this teaching. What you focus on increases. What you give your attention to increases. What do you talk about all day long? Do you talk about your health, your wealth, your loving relationship, your creative self-expression? Or do you say, oh, I'm broke, I'm poor, I'm not feeling well, I'm this? That's where your attention goes. To that, and your mind says, oh, well, they're not wealthy, so I'll make them so. See, when you have to start to listen to what you're saying to yourself, that internal dialogue that is going on, also what you're saying to other people all the time. If somebody says to you, how are you feeling? You say, awful. You know, you're going to start feeling awful. I never say that. You know, I say, oh, I'm wonderful, I'm this, I'm that, I'm rich, I'm feeling great about everything. Why? Even at the present moment that doesn't happen to be true, I can make it come true by giving that my focus, my attention. This little brain that we have up here is a very powerful thing. And it will listen to what you're saying and it will multiply what you're doing. So if you get up and say to yourself, I am happy, I am healthy, I am loving my life, you will start to do that. But if you get up and say, oh, just another day, you know, I have friends that I stop calling. This one friend of mine, I said, how is it saying, oh, same old, same old. Well, you know, where's the conversation going to go from here? I just hang up on them. You know, I don't need that. Okay. This is true for all things wanted and unwanted. And that's where we fail to see. It's wanted and unwanted. You know what you want. So then talk about what you want, not what you don't want. Oh, but it's all around me. I don't care if it's all around you or not. Don't talk about it. You see, we're breathing life into things. That's why it's so important to realize that you're a creator, that you're creating things, that you're breathing life into it. And if you see all the bad and so forth, and you see all this other stuff that you bring into your mind, You're the one that's breathing life into that. And as long as you breathe life into that, it will stay with you. As soon as you withdraw your energy, it has to go back to the nothingness from whence it came. It cannot stay with you. You have to realize that. Oh, but this is true. I don't have any money. At the present moment, you may not have any money, and that's an absolute fact. But the truth is that money is always freely circulating in your life, and you always have a divine surplus, and that is where you must put your attention. You must put your attention there. You see? Same way if you feel ill and so forth. Don't talk about your illnesses. You know, I go to these reunions with people that I graduated high school with, and all they sit around and talk about aches and pains and all the different things that's going wrong with them. I call it the organ concert. You know, they talk about all their organs. Oh, this and that going. You don't need that. You see? But they're focusing on it. Why are they focusing on it? Because the world is very convincing. And they say to you, well, at your age, you know, at your age, this is going to happen to you. Don't do that. And we think that it's very, very funny, you know, to say, oh, I'm having a senior moment. Well, I don't consider myself a senior, and I'm certainly never going to have a senior moment. You know? As long as you focus on that and you think this is the norm, you're going to fall into that, and you're going to start imitating that, and you're going to turn old. You see? Don't do it. Keep your focus where it's supposed to be. Focusing on I love enhances my experience of love. Yes, focus always on what you want. I magnify all manifestations of good by focusing my thoughts on God. Always I say to myself, how would God act in this situation? What would God do in this situation? How would God feel in this situation? And then I pretend that I'm God. And I keep pretending that. So I convince myself that that is so. Because you cannot place this thing called God outside of you somewhere and think. Now the mind and the world, of course, we've been taught that that's sacrilege to do that. I was thrown out of a church once for saying something like that. Because they thought, who the hell do you think you are? You know, well, I know who I am, I know what I am, and so it doesn't bother me. But we have to know how powerful we are. The world doesn't want you to know how powerful you are. It wants you to keep you weak, to keep you out of the whole thing, so that you never understand in lifetime that you can do these things for yourself. You're saying. You think that you need all this other stuff going on because the world keeps telling you that. You need doctors, you need lawyers, you need this, you need that. Instead of saying, I have all this within me, and I have this thing called God, which I have no idea what it is, but I'm going to call it God, but I know that it's a power, it's an intelligence, it's a life, and it's coursing through me right here and right now. And when I think, God thinks. And then you set out and do what you want with that. Appreciation is a God-given power tool that magnifies the good in your life. Appreciate things. Every morning I set from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, 2 hours every morning, appreciating, sitting in gratitude, looking around and saying, oh, I love this, I love that. I'm so delighted that I'm here. I'm so delighted that I have this view out my window. I do not take those things for granted. You can't. You have to sit in appreciation, you have to sit in gratitude and let it come into you so that you really start to feel that. This is done with feelings, people. It's done with feelings. You have to do those feelings for yourself. No one can do it for you. You have to do it. Remember, we're teaching practical metaphysics here. Practical metaphysics means practice the teaching. Don't just read about it. Just don't come to these places. Practice it day in and day out. Practice on everything that you're doing. You see? Now, how do we do that? Well, I'll tell you. I look at everything. I bought 10 pounds of potatoes the other day. I gave 5 pounds of potatoes away. I said, this is too many potatoes. I'm sharing these with people. Lo and behold, a friend came and handed me 10 pounds of potatoes. Now I have 15 pounds of potatoes. You see, once you start to focus on something, once you start to do things, and once you start to give things away, it comes right back to you. Now, if you can do that with potatoes, you can do that with anything. You see? You can do that with anything. I'm giving 5 more pounds of potatoes to them. Anytime during the day, I can use this tool to re-energize my body, mind, and spirit. Do you do this tool? Do you use this thing called God to re-energize you in the day, or do you take a cup of coffee? Or do you take a cup of coffee? You see, I could put Starbucks out of business. You don't need coffee to keep going. You don't need coffee. People say, oh, I have to have my coffee. I'm not stimulated. If you say the life of God is coursing through me right here and right now, and I'm sizzling with light, your whole little body perks up, you see. Every day you have to wake up your body. Not only your physical body, you have to wake up your energy body. It's asleep most of the time. Why? Because you never talk to it. You never do anything. You never say to it, now come on, let's get up, let's move, let's go. You have to talk to these things. You have to do it. Especially with your energy body. You have to talk to that energy body and you have to wake it up. It is there. But since you don't use it, it just falls asleep. I appreciate the vitality that flows through my body. I value the clarity of my thoughts and memory. Aha, my thought and memory, the clarity. Instead of saying, oh, I'm getting old, losing my memory, or I can't think anymore, why don't I start telling your mind to remember things for you. To remember things for you. I have a very good memory. I remember almost everything. Drives people nuts. Especially my family, because I know where their fathers are. I appreciate the ever-present love of God that lifts my spirit. Now, last week I told you about Sally Fields. You remember when she got the Oscar? She said, you love me, you really love me. This is what you have to know about God. It loves you, it really loves you. So appreciate the ever-present love of God that lifts my spirit. This thing called God loves you. Why does it love you? Because it is you and you are it. We cannot separate that. The world separates things. This teaching is based on unity, meaning one. And everything comes from that one and everything goes back to that one. I am grateful for my ability to magnify God's good in my life. You have to magnify that good by gratitude, by appreciation, by saying it till you start to believe it. You see, you have to give it more than just mouth service here. You have to do something. You have to start feeling it. And then, of course, this is from the Bible, and we'll read it metaphysically. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Well, the Lord, we always change to law. So magnify the law. The law of what? The law of attraction or the law of mind. You see, they call it many things, the secrets of this and that. It's called the law of mind, people. Your mind has to work through this thing called the law. Meaning, what you think about, you bring about. That's as simple and easy as that is. And let us exalt his name together. Well, that's go ahead and do that with God. Say, I'm delighted that we have this. This thing called God, by the way, has to work through this same law. It's not God and the law. It's God as the law. And God works through the law just the way we work through the law. And once you realize that you're part of this thing, this creative force, using this law that listens to you, that hears what you're saying and goes out and does something about it, then we learn to change our vocabulary. We learn to change our thinking. So there's this... the mind doesn't know the difference between your casual thoughts and your causal thoughts. They're all causal thoughts. Any thought that you have, Years ago, there was a book out called You Can't Afford the Luxury of a Negative Thought, and you cannot afford the luxury of a negative thought because you're building up a consciousness, you're building something. You're always forming a mold for this thing called God to pour into. So whatever shape you give that, God will pour itself into that. God will manifest what you are thinking about, what you are feeling. It's done with thought. It's done with feeling. So what do we want to know? How do we want to start this whole thing? We have to start with ourselves. And how do we start with ourselves? Well, first of all, we start with the idea that we are one with God. So if God is all there is, we have to be some part of that God. Then along with that, we go to, I am worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. With that, let's do the matter thing.
I matter, really matter. I matter, I really matter.
Yes, know that you matter. Now, this is, I'm using the word practical metaphysics, which means you have to practice and you have to think about this teaching, this philosophy, day in and day out, every minute. So today I was meditating, and during meditation, I tried to remember the three things. Does anyone remember the three things that we did a long time ago that that's the essence of this teaching?
It's Laurie's
favorite thing.
It will always be done unto you as you believe. With God, all things are possible. I can do this. I can do this and more.
Mm-hmm. Those are the three things. You can put them in any order you want. But I could not remember all things were possible with God. I could not remember it, but I know that this little card is in my desk. Sort of rumpled. So when I got finished meditating, I got up and looked for this card so that I could remind myself one more time. Why am I telling you this? Because I do this day in and day out. I do all these different things, but my mind still keeps that away from you. You see, your mind does not want you to know who you are. It does not want you to know these things, because if you know these things, you would change, and then what's going to go with the mind, you see? So this title of the talk for the month of February is Master Slave. And we have to figure out, are you the master of your mind, or are you a slave to your mind? Is your mind running you, or are you running your mind, you see? So you have to think of those things. I had a young lady in this morning, and she said, oh, I should do this, I should do that, I should be doing this, I should. Now, she's in metaphysics. If you're in metaphysics, you may not use the word should. You see, if you use the word should, I should have done that, you're immediately placing guilt on yourself. You're immediately shaming yourself. So you change that to I could. I could have done this, I could have done that, but I chose to do this. You see, the world loves to use the word should. Where did you hear the first time you heard the word should? It probably came from your parents. You should have done it this way and that wouldn't have happened. You say you should have done it, meaning you didn't make the right choice. You must know that you always make the right choice. You must know that. It may not look like it at the time, but you must say, I always make the right choice. The other three things to remember is, I'm always divinely guided, I always take the right turn in the road, and God always makes a way where there appears to be no way. So then, I'm always in my right place, doing the right thing, and saying the right thing. So get rid of shoulds. Know that what you are doing was right at the moment. Once you get more information, it may change. But you cannot do that to yourself. You have to know that what I did at that moment was the exact right thing, that I was being divinely guided. You see. So give up that idea that your little mind can't figure things out, that you're not doing things right, that you should have done something differently. No, you could have, but you chose not to, and you chose that because of the information you had at the time. So many people are still punishing themselves for something that they did in the past, because now they have better information and they would have done it differently. But at the time, they couldn't have done it differently. You see, because they didn't have that information. But the mind wants to say, look how dumb you were, look at this, and keep punishing you. That's the idea of the slave, you see. You're not a master then. You're a slave to your mind. You're a slave to your mind. Once you become a slave to your mind, the slaves are busy making whips for the master. What does that mean? You have these thoughts, I'm not good enough, I'm not this, that, and the other thing. Then your mind does not leave you alone with that. It starts to prove it to you. It starts to prove it to you. It makes one more whip. Just keeps making whips to whip you around. You have to stop that. You have to become the master of your thinking, the master of your destiny. So we start with that other premise, is that you are not your mind. Your mind is yours to use. Do not allow your mind to convince you that you are it. You are not it. You are using your mind. So, picture yourself at the switchboard. And picture that switchboard any way you want it. I picture it with levers and dials and so forth. And I'm the one that's sitting there changing those things. They're not automatically doing that on their own. This is the way you learn to control your mind. The same way you learned to control your computer, didn't you? You learned how to run the computer. Every once in a while, we do something wrong, or I do on the computer. But I correct that. And this is what you must do with your mind. It's a constant thing of just correcting your thinking. But you have to be diligent about it. You have to practice it all the time. You have to learn to become a witness to your thinking. You have to be able to put your thinking out in front of you and say, well, that doesn't sound very good. This isn't very well. And get rid of them. Just because those thoughts are coming into your head, you do not have to buy into them. They're just thoughts. They're like trains. They're just going through. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. You know. But we attach things to it. I did a talk once when I was head of church. The title of the talk was, just because you hear the engine doesn't mean the train is coming. And I lived in Knoxville, Tennessee at the time. And of course, in those old southern towns, the train goes right through the middle of the town. And the printing shop that I would go to for the church was on the other side of the tracks. And sure enough, I'd always be getting caught, have to wait for this train to go by so I could get back. So one day, I hear the train coming, right? And I'm going, oh, that sounds awful. I'll have to wait, I'll have to wait. It was just an engine. And I was able to go right through. This is what we do with our thoughts. You see, we have one thought, we start to attach cars to it, and then make a great big long train out of it. You see, somebody says, oh, I think I'm feeling ill. Oh, we start to add things to that. How about if somebody else goes into the hospital with a serious thing? What does your mind immediately start to do? Oh, they'll have to do this, they'll have to do that, You're attaching cars to an engine. All you heard was the engine. You're now attaching cars to that. Don't attach cars to those thoughts. You see? But we do that. We just keep doing that to ourselves. But we're the ones that are doing it. So once you realize that you can control this mind, your whole life will change. It will become so much better. You won't have the worries. You won't have the stress. You won't have the struggle. And you'll learn human nature. And you'll be able to say, oh, I can change that. I can change that. Now, did anyone see the movie Avatar? I think it's absolutely wonderful. I got a lot of things out of it. What I got out of it is that everything's connected. We're all together here. And we have to learn to use all this connection and so forth. What I did not like about the movie, it's futuristic, I don't know what year that's supposed to be and how many centuries down that road, but if you notice, human nature is exactly the same. It had never changed. We still have the jealousies, we have the hates, we have the greed, we have all the things. We put all these things out there and we say, this is how humans are. You're saying, that's not how humans are, that's how we think humans are, and we keep imitating humans and we keep repeating that thing. I would like to believe that when I leave this plane of action, that human beings, as we progress spiritually, learn more about ourselves, that we'll be able to get rid of the greed, we'll be able to get rid of the jealousies, we'll be able to get rid of that and go back to the only reality there is, the reality of love. But if we're projecting that onto the screen and we're projecting that into the future, it doesn't look hopeful, you see. You have to change. You have to say, okay, at the present moment, this is the way humans are carrying on. This is the qualities that we give humans. These are the virtues and so forth. But there must be more. You see, this whole, you must think metaphysically instead of physically. And you must think vertically instead of horizontally. And we're thinking horizontally always. Oh yes, all this changed. The technology changes. Everything changes. Since the cavemen knocking each other over the heads with clubs, we have learned many things. We have all this technology going on, but we're still clubbing each other. We haven't given up the clubs. We've made the clubs more sophisticated. You see? So if you say if you're part of this thing and you're part of God and all, you have to start changing your attitude, not only about yourself, but about humans themselves, and realize, geez, these people are wonderful. This is a wonderful thing. And get rid of the jealousies, get rid of it. But the world loves to keep that going because it keeps the economy going, doesn't it? Think if everyone loved themselves. If everyone loved themselves just the way they are, what do you think would happen to the cosmetic industry? We'd be gone. It would be gone. So they have to teach you that you're not quite right, that you need your teeth fixed, you need this done, you need that done, your hair color, you know? Everyone wants to change you instead of, when I have curly hair, I go to the barber and he wants to make it straight. When I have straight hair, they want to make it curly. I go, let it alone, let it do what it wants to do. You see? But we have to grow up emotionally. Learning anything, any religion or any philosophy, you can learn all this stuff, but if you don't grow emotionally and give up all that emotional garbage that's going on, oh, he hurt me, he said this, and oh my, I'm going to go get a divorce. Give this stuff up, people. Give it up. It means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. But that little part of your mind called the ego wants to tell you that this is the way it is. You see, you're not your ego. Yes, the ego is there. You have to learn to control it. You have to learn to take it to task and say, no, we're not going down that road. Here's what we're going to do. I'm not going to sit here and say, I am part of God. And then I'm going to say, now I'm jealous of this, and I'm jealous of that, and I hate this going on, and I hate that, and blah, 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 blah. We have to go higher in consciousness and see something different. So we have to imagine ourselves in the world differently. And if we can't sit here and imagine ourselves and the world differently, and we come out with the movie Avatar, which is absolutely wonderful. I love the mountains, the floating mountains. I'd love to have those around. But I don't want to be 2,000 years from now still humans loaded with hate, guilt, shame, all these qualities. You see? All these qualities. Now, those qualities, by the way, are learned. They're not intrinsic qualities. because God is not jealous. God does not hate. God has no guilt. God has no shame. So if you're part of that thing called God, then you have those same intrinsic qualities in you. Look for those and start to bring those out of you and say, I am a spiritual being experiencing a human experience, not I am a human having a spiritual experience. Make yourself spiritual and start to think, would I handle this if I knew that I was spiritual? See, everyone wants to be spiritual and everyone thinks that'll be just great. Well, what good does it do to be spiritual when you still have hates and jealousies and all that going on? What good is that going to do you? So you can say to somebody, guess what, I'm spiritual, but I hate you. Doesn't work, does it? It doesn't work. So we have to do that. We have to practice thinking differently. Thinking differently. It's all done with your thinking. It's all done with not being convinced. Just because everyone else does it, are you going to do it? Remember when you were a kid, your mother would say to you, well, they jumped off the bridge. Are you going to jump off the bridge also? Well, guess what? We've all jumped off the bridge, haven't we? We've all jumped off the bridge, haven't we? Why do you think religions for a millennium or more have used the idea of sheep? You are my flock. You are the sheep. I am the shepherd. Why do you think that is? Because sheep are the dumbest animals in the world. They're absolutely stupid. If one goes off the cliff, they all follow. Don't be sheeple, people. Be yourself. Don't do that to yourself. You see, I have a friend, Joyce Reynolds, she's called a motivator of one of 1,000. Her famous thing is she a group of people, they're all going somewhere. Well, who's leading this? Who's leading this? Who's leading this? No one's leading. You're being led. You're being led. Don't be led. Be a leader. Be a leader. Don't be led by anything or anybody. That's including me. I'm just putting this stuff out there. I'm not a leader. I don't want to be a leader. And I don't want to be led. I want to be an individualized expression of God. And you're each individualized expressions of God. So why would you want somebody to lead you into anything? You have to lead yourself into all this stuff. You have to mature spiritually so that you, I can do this. So it boils down to that. You can do this in greater things. And you can. And we all can. And this is what we want to do. When we say these things, all things are possible with God, you can do this in greater things, we have to start to know that. We have to start to believe that. Otherwise, what good is that? Now, I've heard that with God, all things are possible since day one. Have you not all heard that? Well, are you doing anything about it? Or are you just going to keep saying that the rest of your life? Oh, all things are possible with God, but of course, that doesn't count with me. In my case, because you know, my parents treated me poorly. I have a disease, you know, so not possible. I don't have enough intelligence. Not possible. All things are possible with God. You have to know that. All things are possible with God. Don't buy into any of that stuff. Somebody says you have a disease and so forth. I say, that's what you think. It's an opinion. And you're led down that road. Then before you know it, you're in that whole medical thing. And that will certainly convince you that there's something wrong with you. It will convince you. It has to convince you. How else are they going to sell that pill? Don't. Be yourself. Be an individualized expression of God. Learn to think for yourself. You have magnificent minds. You have magnificent minds. Learn to use them. Learn to appreciate them. Learn to thank that part of yourself. highest say, I have a good mind. Why? Because it's connected to this big mind that we call God. Years ago, I thought maybe they gave me the wrong mind. You know, they were in a hurry when they assembled me, and I got a faulty mind. But I don't think that about myself anymore. And if you think that about yourself, learn to change that thought. You can't have a faulty mind. You can't. You may think differently than other people. So what? So what? We've learned more and more and more about the mind. Paula was a school teacher for many years. Like that, when she first started, they told her, this is the way you teach, and this is the only way you teach. Now they realize that people learn differently. They always thought everyone learned exactly the same way. So a visual person, they didn't know, oh, well, he learns visually. This one learns this way. This one learns that way. We all learn differently, but we can all learn. Why do we all learn differently? Because we're individualized expressions of God. If we were all alike, what would be the sense of it? What would be the sense of it? But we're learning that now, you know. So you have to say, oh, isn't this magnificent? I do it this way, and that one does it this way. But we all learn. We all learn. We waste a lot of people mentally by thinking that person can't learn, simply because that person learns differently. Now we're learning to correct that. But I'm sure we've done a lot of damage to people by thinking, oh, that person's stupid. And they now discover. Each mind thinks differently because it's an individualized expression. The world wants to tell you, you have to think like everybody else, and you have to be like everybody else. You have to weigh exactly 110 pounds and have a bust line of 32 or something. Then you're all right. If you don't have that, there's something wrong with you. You have to know that there's nothing wrong with you. Nothing whatsoever wrong with you. That you're magnificent human beings. Now, wouldn't that be nice to wake up every morning and know that you are a magnificent human being and that wonderful things were going to happen to you for the day? These are the thoughts that you have to put into your own head. This is how you have to start to think about yourself. And give up all that old stuff, you know. That old habits and old programmings that you've heard since day one. You're not good enough, you're not this, you're not that. Give it up. And say, from now on, I'm going to know that I am a magnificent human being, that I am an individualized expression of God, that I have a good mind, and that I can draw into my life the things that I want. The things that I want. There's a horrible car commercial on television right now, and it ends with, well, you can't always get what you want. That goes against everything that this teaching is about. Goes against everything that this teaching is about. Why do I point that out? Because the world is very convincing. People hear that and they buy right into it and they say, that's right, you can't have everything you want because I didn't get everything I wanted. Therefore, no one can get everything that they want. You can have it all. You can have it all. You just have to bring your mind to that conclusion. It's all about training your thoughts. It's all about, are you going to be the master of your mind, or are you going to be a slave to your mind? You have to stand up and say to your mind, I'm taking control here, and this is what I want. And this is the way I want to behave. This is the way I want to live. This is the way I want. I'll get busy and bring those things to me. And we'll start to do that. This is a teaching that has been around for at least 2,500 years. And it is taught in many different ways. And you hear the same thing in many different schools of philosophy. And we think, isn't it wonderful? And it is wonderful. But use it. Do something with it. Make it practical in your life. Go back to, I got 10 pounds of potatoes. I gave 5 pounds of potatoes away, and somebody knocks on the door and gives me 10 more pounds of potatoes. So if that can happen with potatoes, it can happen with anything. You have to realize that you have the power within you to heal, to bless, to prosper, and to multiply things. Those are the qualities that you have. To heal, to bless, to multiply. You have to know that you have that. You have to know that I can multiply this. So I can't wait to give the other 5 pounds of potatoes away and see what comes next. And something wonderful will come into my life. Just be open to these things. You have to make this a practical teaching and bring it into your life and know that each and every day this is happening. And it's because of the way I'm thinking, and it's because I put these thoughts into this thing that we call the law of mind, and the law of mind responded to me, to my feelings. It responded to my thoughts, my attitudes, my viewpoints, my opinions, and my beliefs. It responded to those, and it brought me what I want. You see, you cannot say money is always freely circulating in my life and then tell everyone you're broke. You cannot do that. That's a house divided against itself, and it must fall. If you're broke, keep your mouth shut. Don't mention it to a soul. Don't mention it to a soul. Keep your mouth shut. Go back to Reverend Ike and say, he said, Jesus, loosen my money for me. I don't care what you say. You can say, Jesus, Henry, Harry, I don't care. But just say, loosen my money for me. And that money is going to start to come to you. The love of whatever you're looking for will come. It's out there. You know, what you are seeking is seeking you. Always. What you are seeking is seeking you. So, look for it. See that. And know that this teaching works. Now, last week we had the magician, who is not here today, who told a fabulous story by using this teaching. He got a wonderful job in Japan. He made lots of money, and he's very happy, and he's still going strong. Let's hope tonight that he's appearing at the Magic Castle or someplace. So now, this evening, I would like Michelle to tell her story of how this works practically.
Well, not only did 4 years ago we manifest a $600,000 townhouse and 5 horses, 3. But then I decided recently that I didn't want the townhouse anymore. I didn't want the big financial burden. So Dallas and I did a private. We did hypnotherapy. And I exhausted all of what I thought were solutions, the previous owner and my tenant. And I give up. I give up, and I listen to a hypnotherapy session. And one morning, my father called and said, you know, I need some more tax deductions. I'd like to buy the townhouse. And so just like that, $650,000.
See, it works. It works. And you don't have to know how it works. No, I had no idea that her father was going to do that. But I knew something was going to happen. And that's what you have to know. You see, fun and entertainment, ways and means. You don't go to the Ways and Means Committee. Stay away from that. You come up with the plan, and you come up with everything and say, here's what I want. Now, I don't know how it's going to be done, but I know that you know how to do it. So do it. That's your job, not mine. See, now you can talk to this thing like that. We're not talking about that God where you have to pray, get down on your knees, vague and carry on. We're talking about a partner here that has a job, and the job of that partner is the ways and means, because we cannot think of that. The whole time that Michelle was there and we talked and so forth, never dawned on us, Father, never dawned on us, you know, but I said something wonderful is going to happen. And it happened. But we have to get ourselves out of the way always and allow this thing to come in and work for us. So, are you going to become a master of your mind? Or are you going to become a slave to it? If you become a slave to it, those slaves are going to be making whips all the time. And they're going to be beating up on you all the time. Once you become the master, you're the master. Is anyone familiar with a man by the name of Ken Keyes? Ken Keyes wrote the book Higher Consciousness, I believe, was the title of it. It could have been called Basic Consciousness, but his name was Ken Keyes. Maybe five ways to higher consciousness. Anyway, it gives an illustration in the book about the mind. Think of the mind as the plantation. And you're the master of that plantation. And if you don't watch what you're doing, the slaves will burn the mansion down. Now, the slaves in this case are your thoughts. How many times have your thoughts come up and ruin you and burn you down and knock you around and so forth? You were not master. You allowed your thoughts to take over. You're no good, you're this, you're that, you'll not make it, you don't have any talent, you're not intelligent enough, you're not educated enough, you're not this, you're not that. That's the slaves taking over, they're burning down the mansion, they're taking over your mind, they're whipping you to death. You must be the master and say, stop that, you're not doing that to me. Go back to the nothingness from whence you came. Here's what I'm thinking about myself. And then your mind will say, yeah, but you're the only one. Goody, goody. Be the only one. Be the only one. You don't have to get approval. Do you think I go out and get approval from anybody? No. I have a friend, Doug the Baptist. He has to get approval from everyone before he does anything. Could drive you nuts. You know? Take control. Become the master of your mind. The master of your thinking. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.
There's a donation.